Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Listen.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo show, also known as NVC. I'm your host, Casey DeFreitas. I'm here with three very good friends. Tom Marks.
Hello.
Zach Ryan.
Hi. Just to clarify, we're all good friends with you, but the three of us don't actually care for each other.
They actually completely hate
each
other.
That's right.
I think of us
Shut up, Sam.
Long-term coworkers.
And Sam Claiborne.
Long-term coworkers.
We're back in this room.
I used to
host the show, and it was in this room, and I hate being back here.
Why?
And it feels terrible. And fun fact, I've been in here the whole time.
Nobody let him out.
Never left.
Now, do you hate it because it's just like a sweaty hot box in here? Is that?
I didn't even think about that part. Now I hate it even more.
Mm.
It even gets like that sometimes when you're in here. This is also the solo streams room, so when you're in here by yourself, mm-hmm. and it still gets kind of warm.
Yeah. There's actually someone streaming in the background right now.
Yeah. Now, Casey, I noticed you don't have a custom intro yet, so you're working your way towards that.
I'm working my way towards that.
Jose had welcome. And,
yeah, I just
that's
stole
sort
that.
Of, yeah, that's sort of stuck for the last few generations
oh, really?
Of hosts. Yeah.
Before that, everybody only said, what's up, everybody? That was all it was.
Well, that's just until generic YouTuber.
Yeah, I think we started it, though. Oh. I don't think anybody ever contracted what and is before IGN.
I think Greg Miller actually invented what's up, everybody.
He might think that. Yeah. I think it was Damon. I think that's a what's up, everybody.
That, no, that could be. Thing. That could be. So, how about
the
this?
Cameras we'll just, turn I'll just off emulate and the show goes someone off the different rails. Every day for, well, until I run out.
What do you
I
think
did
about?
Is I had writer people write in, and I say, "What? How should we start the show?" And one day, a reader or listener wrote in, "Well, you should start it with Hey, listen,' because that's what Navi says." So we would say, "Hey, listen, everybody," and that's how we'd start the show. And I thought that was really cute. So you can have that, but you should ask people maybe how to start it, or
we're gonna do a poll.
Yeah, a poll.
I was thinking, let's kick some tires and light some fires. It's time for MVC.
Mm-hmm. No.
Let's shake the trees and rake the leaves, little buddy. Vito. You're here in Astrodome City, and we're going to talk about video games.
Yeah.
Put those.
We got Smokey on
pile.
Our six. So, I have a CB dictionary I can bring in. That should solve
let's
a lot
do it.
Of things. Citizens.
And for those of you who can't see us, I just want to describe
that's
what everyone looks like
that's
today.
That's literally everyone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Literally everyone. So Tom is not wearing his bow ties. That was just for show.
It's not true.
Sam's mustache is gone. That was actually just a sticker this entire time.
Since we started going to audio only, I just figured I'll just let it grow.
It's a full
So
full
you might not look like a mustache
beard.
Anymore, but it's more the mustache grew over the rest of my body. And
that
now
makes
it's
a lot
just
more
it's
sense.
Like cousin it, but only from your upper lip.
Yeah. It's Sasquatchian.
Yeah.
And Zach's got a full on beer now. And so do I.
A full beer?
A full beer. Full beer. Yeah, we're getting hammered drunk.
Well, first all right. of all, we could be having full beers right now, but we're not. Like idiots. Well,
that's true. I hadn't considered that until just now.
I mean, at least my drink is 0.5% alcohol.
Please look forward to episode 449, where around the 40-minute mark, stuff starts to get real loose. So.
Well, now that it's audio, I know you guys out there in listening land might have heard that we're doing this for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is so we could save lots of money and get a keg of wine.
That's true.
We actually did get a keg of wine recently, which I'm very excited
It's
about.
Bad wine.
It tastes like a foot. It is free. It is good. It is good free wine.
Now let's use this in past tense because it went in like 4 days.
Is it gone now?
Oh, it was gone the Thursday after the Monday we got it, which was already 2 weeks ago.
That says a lot about the working environment here at IGN, I feel
But maybe if we turn it upside down, we can get a nice glass of wine and some Krypton gas.
Perfect.
Delicious. But hey, on that note, I'm sure you guys drank some wine and some beer in celebration for National Mario Day.
What a segue.
That was a really good segue.
Yeah.
Which is March 10th.
Yeah.
And why is it called Mario Day on March 10th?
Mar
10.
Yeah, Mar 10 looks like Mario.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I was looking for like an origin story where like there was a game released that day.
No.
I didn't find anything. Nah. All the games are in the fall.
It's just the fact that the date looks like Mario, and also it's funny because this is like probably the, third year that I've been aware of Mario Day. But the first time that I saw it on Twitter, I was like, why is everybody talking about Mar 10? Mm-hmm. What's going on Mar 10? What's happening here?
It should be Martin Day.
Yeah.
He's a good classmate of Bart's.
If you look,
what's Martin's last name?
Prince. Martin Prince.
Martin Prince. Thank
yeah.
If you actually look at the holiday in the United States, like list of holidays, and they talk about Mario Day, and then they at the end they list here are some other famous Marios that you might know about.
Really?
Like, this is not for them. This
Mario
is for
Andretti,
Nintendo character. Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Mario Lopez. Yeah. Who's it? Who else?
Mario Vitale.
Mario Vitale. Yeah, anybody else got good Mario?
If that your name is Mario, this day is for you.
That is literally two more Marios than I could have named.
Since it's Luigi's last name, Luigi Mario.
Yes. I don't know. Is that canon?
Sure.
It is in this office.
They're called the Mario Brothers. I don't know what could be more canon. It's in the title of the only game series that they're in.
All right. Yeah, all right, fair.
So I wanted to ask you guys, what is your favorite Mario game?
Oh.
Legend of Zelda, 7 stars. What am I saying? Super Mario RPG Legend of 7 Stars. I just had a moment.
Yeah, were
I'm
you
sorry.
Making a joke or
no?
You okay?
I just like literally my brain turned off.
Tom second. Had some sort of weird
Super Mario
aphasia.
RPG Legend of the 7 Stars.
That's your favorite Mario game?
Probably. I love that.
Well, you're
game.
Walking it back now?
No.
That's a terrible answer, and you should walk it back.
I think
Sam?
Like Thousand Year Door is up there for me, but man, I love the RPGs. I really do. And I'm
just
I
say pick
that
up
as
my face palm.
I say that as people should know, I'm a huge platformer fan, but man, something about Legend of the 7 Stars just like has stuck with me to this day. I never bought that game. I always rented it from my local video store, and I memorized which serial code it was because they had 2 copies, and the save files was on the game or on the game cartridge. So I had to remember which serial number was on the barcode of the rented copy, so I could keep renting it and keep my save.
I feel like I've heard you tell that story before about a different game.
No. It was about that one. If I told it before too,
you guys can't see
when
we talk
about lost
save
files.
Yeah. Oh,
I think we talked about
it is. That's the one.
Yeah.
You can go back to a previous NPC. And
yeah, okay. I take it back. I was, for those of you that can't see me, that's everybody, I was giving him a very suspicious look. But you're right. That's what it was for. My favorite Mario game is Super Mario World. I think I've said that many, many times on this show.
You know, mine too.
Yeah. I think Super Mario World is probably the only video game that I would ever say is a perfect game. As a perfectly made game. Every level is perfect. Every sprite animation is perfect. That's a perfect game. 10 out of 10, 100%. Perfect.
And it's a perfect follow-up to another great Mario game, Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, I knew that was your favorite. Yeah.
I just think it did all the same stuff that that did, and I like the worlds a little bit better, and I like the map secrets a little bit better.
It's a little harder.
And I don't know. The levels are really short, but they're vertical.
Mm.
And I think that was like a cool Mario thing at the time.
Plus that raccoon tail. That's good.
You know what? It might be harder, and that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
I did find Mario 3 more difficult than Super Mario. So Super Mario World was my first Mario game.
Okay,
that makes sense. Went back and played the older ones, and I found those more difficult than Super Mario World.
Yeah, the GBA one?
Yeah.
Did you play that one?
I played...
Because that had the e-reader you could add levels to.
No, I played a Super Mario Land on the Game Boy.
Yeah, Super Mario Land and Super Mario Land 2 are on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins.
That's such a good one.
Really good music in it. And you can become Bunny Mario, which is really cute.
And it has that level that like you go inside a giant Mario, and yeah, it's like all Legos and stuff.
Animatronic Mario.
Dude, I love that. It's so good.
But Tom, I'm with you. Like, the Mario RPGs are really fun, and I really like them, but I'm specifically talking about like Paper Mario.
Okay.
Like Super Paper Mario on the Wii and Paper
Mario. That game's really cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Super Paper Mario was the one that shook it up where it wasn't a straight RPG anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's action.
It wasn't turn-based combat. Levels and that game was great.
And it's a weird Easter egg in that game, which you would never expect, is that the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out code is in it.
What?
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like the game code?
Yeah, you have to enter a code to fight Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, the NES game.
Oh, and that code is in it.
Yeah, and that code's like on a wall.
I thought you meant like they put the really entirety obscure, of the source code of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I thought that too.
That'd be more like Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Where the first Animal Crossing, you just get a bunch of free NES games.
Yeah.
And so this year, we're actually getting a really huge art book called The Art of Super Mario Odyssey. I think it's like something around like 300-something pages. It's coming out October 22nd. It's going to be $49.99. And it includes concept art, preliminary sketches, and notes from the development team, and insight into early ideas that didn't make it into the game itself.
Mm.
I'm super excited about that.
Is my favorite part about these books.
Yeah. I love Super Mario Odyssey. I love the way it looks. I'd like to see a art of Mario book in general, because like I know you're on the same wavelength, but like that early Mario art where he's like so round and so pudgy and like all the enemies are like so funny looking, like everything's, I love that like early 90s Mario aesthetic, like especially the stuff that was in the manuals or like on the side of the arcade cabinet and stuff. Mm-hmm. So cool. But I think this book looks really nice too
from a preservation standpoint. I'm so happy that there's like, you know, Nintendo's opening an archive, publishing sketches and like concept stuff that could potentially be lost for their older games. We don't know, because there was the Mario All-Star Collection for Wii, and it came with a bunch of like really cool Mario stuff in it. And that was the first time we'd seen it. And it's like, oh, well, maybe they do have some archives, but we don't know what their archive system is like. And it really worries me that, you know, there's stuff lost to time about planning and making these games. And it's good that they're preserving it in this way.
You hear about it all the time, right? Where people talk about games just being lost forever because like developers didn't save the source code or it got trashed, or you know, the office got flooded or whatever it might be. The most recent one I've heard is like that rumor is really hot around Final Fantasy VIII, where, you know, that's not coming to any of the, it's not coming to Switch or any of the other platforms because that source code just doesn't exist anymore.
Oh no.
But who knows if that's true? It's probably not. That seems like a multi-million-dollar game that they probably saved somewhere else.
So. Yeah, it's an interesting idea, and you know, remakes can happen in lieu of that stuff. But you know, I think it's weird that like modders or I don't know what you call people that make emulated games, but like that help emulators work and stuff. But they can put those things out really well, and sometimes it's messed up that, you know, companies that own the rights to those games are worse at emulation than people making illegal ROMs.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see concept art of Odyssey specifically too, because that was one of the most impressive things about that game to me, is the design of the worlds and how they realized these worlds. And I am so excited to see all the ideas they threw away mm-hmm. for whatever reason. Well, like this came up on Twitter recently just because I think of mm-hmm. Mario Day, where it was like people talking about, you know, oh, there's all this content was cut from Odyssey. But it's like, no, like there's that much content cut from literally every game you've ever played.
Yeah.
And it's so cool for when developers kind of lower the curtain and say, you know what, hey, this is some of the stuff that we didn't finish this or didn't work or didn't fit in or whatever reason. And I love being able to see that, and I'm excited to see that for a game that is so – like its worlds are so good. I'm excited to see like just what we almost got or what didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of that kind of stuff in the Legend of Zelda series. We've seen a lot of concept art. Remember that GDC talk from a few years ago after Breath of the Wild came out, and they showed concept art of like a more modern looking Link? He right. had like cargo pants or something wild, and then like also they showed off sketches of him riding a motorcycle, and everybody's like, that's ridiculous, and then that's what the DLC was. Like,
and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's like concept art like that is really interesting because it's like looking into an alternate dimension or like an alternate timeline, especially considering The Legend of Zelda, right? Like you're looking at like a split.
Which timeline?
Like, exactly, yeah. But it's also funny because like you look at something like the concept art for the Wind Waker, and like Toon Link was not this squat little guy. He was like this awkward, like gangly teenager, and that like could have been a whole different game. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's what's really interesting to me about some of these like design sketches and concept art stuff is just seeing what could have been.
So this book has actually been out in Japan for a little while, and someone posted pictures of what looks like could have been a Bowsette concept art.
Oh,
like a female Bowser.
Okay.
Which looks very similar to the Bowsette that we've come to love.
Are you sure it wasn't Wendy Koopa?
You know what? Maybe someone just took Wendy Koopa and just took that. I don't know. It wasn't. No, I saw the picture. And
sorry,
like
Wendy O. Koopa.
Thank you. It 100% was not Wendy Koopa. It was a Bowser with a princess look. Yeah. But that's out there, which is interesting. And Nintendo still won't comment on it.
Yeah.
The comment is the art book, right? This is their final statement. Is they're like, stop asking us questions. Here's all this stuff.
So what do you guys want to see in the next Mario game?
Well, that's a really good segue because I was going to put a pin in what you were just talking about. All those things indicate that there's probably more Mario levels just in Odyssey that they thought were a good or a mediocre idea but not a great idea. And I just want more Odyssey. Like I don't really understand why a year later we're not playing like a set of five worlds that Mario goes through and solves – mm-hmm. cool puzzles.
I think every time we do these like direct predictions, you know, when those come around, it's somebody on the panel is always like, oh, this is going to be the time that we finally get that Odyssey DLC or you know those extra worlds, and like that may or may not exist. But to Sam's point, you know, like let's not forget that Nintendo has a tendency to reuse a lot of stuff or hold stuff in the back burner for a very long time, and then you know 5-10 years down the road be like, well, this is actually a concept we came up with for X game, but now we're putting it into this.
So. The fact that Toad has DLC this week or whenever it's out soon.
It's this week.
It's today actually. Yeah.
That Mario Odyssey doesn't. It seems weird to me.
And you know, a Toad,
I don't know. Have you played we'll Captain Toad? It's pretty great.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
It did come out way before.
Yeah,
way before.
So maybe they've been sitting on that for a long time. But in terms of perfect Mario games, I know what I don't want. I don't want new Super Mario Brothers. I really don't like that series. Mm. It's fun and it works, but it's ugly and I don't want to play
it. And we just got a port with some extra content. So
yeah, I'd agree. I want another 3D Mario, another Odyssey or Galaxy style game rather than, or even 3D World, right? The thing though is I don't know specifically what I want. I just want Nintendo to surprise us. They're so good at — this is very, very difficult while Zach is taking a selfie. They're so good at just like doing something I'm not going to expect. Like Mario in space, right? Was like nobody really expected something like that when they did it. And Odyssey was again surprising, but a little bit more down to earth. And I just want them to just do another weird thing with Mario because I think they almost always when they try to go stranger, like knock it out of the park and make something that really, really works and it still feels like Mario.
All right.
And Sunshine got a lot of hate, but you know what?
Sunshine's
great.
I just imagine every Mario pitch meeting is them showing up late and then having like a panic attack in the meeting. They're like, it's Mario, but this time he's got a jetpack that's water. Or he goes to space with Yoshi. Like,
no, okay. I think Sunshine might be just as good of a game as Odyssey.
Wow.
And I definitely like them this
time. I like Sunshine a lot.
I like Sunshine so much, though.
It's mainly that Sunshine fell prey to the like new Zelda game trope of like it came out and nobody, like, everyone was mad at it. And then 5-10 years later, people were like, oh, Sunshine's great. What are you talking about? This game is awesome. And I agree. I loved Sunshine at the time and I still do. But yeah, I want them to just do weird stuff again.
That's a really, like, just a common occurrence, I feel like, in modern games in general, where things will come out and be critically or culturally derided. And then years down the road, you know, people will look back on it more fondly than they did at the initial release, and vice versa. You know, things might come out and people will be really hot on them. And then, you know, a few years down the line, be like, ah, that game wasn't actually that good.
Right.
If you ever want to hear how much Sam does love Super Mario Sunshine, there's a really great episode of Retronauts, it's just a really awesome podcast that drills down on specific older games. And they did an episode about Super Mario Sunshine, and Sam was a guest on that episode. And
it's
three guys absolutely destroying and hating Super Mario Sunshine, and then Sam talking about how great it is. Like, it's a really good episode.
I mean, I'd be down for Super Mario Sunshine 2, and then they can take the concepts that everyone really liked and then just
that's
fix
the type
it
of game which
good.
I bet Nintendo just made and tabled. It's just gone. Aww. It's out there somewhere.
It's like not worth it.
There are such big gaps between 3D Mario games, you know, and I like the Galaxy games, but I don't love them, and I don't think they're as fun to return to as Sunshine.
Backspace again, just disapproval.
I like the idea of having the kind of the hub world and solving puzzles and like kind of like unlocking secrets and stuff. And Galaxy was just like, run to the end line over and over again. And they did a really good job with that, but it was more like Super Mario Brothers versus Mario World.
I'll agree to that, I guess.
Those maybe. 3D World games are pretty cute, though. I like those. I like that. Those are fun.
So
there's so many types of Mario game now, huh?
Yeah, there's...
If you just go down all the different varieties of
tennis.
Them.
You just have... I mean, if all you had in your library were Mario games, you'd have a very wide variety.
I
think Sam's even talking about just like as platformers. So many different, you know, like... I think
like
of Odyssey...
Angle.
Yeah. I think of Odyssey as like a direct sequel to 64.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to me, that's, you know... That exactly. might as well be like Super Mario 65.
Yeah. That's a really catchy name.
Super Mario 128.
No. I love playing Mario Mario 64 so much. We're playing in the office as like a team right now. We're trying to get to 120 stars by the end of the week.
Yeah, you can tell that Pear is out of the office this week.
I think we're going to do it as the true test. When I'm playing that game, I also know that like that could go like I could take. You know when they made it for DS, they added some stars. Like I would love a remake of that that looks pretty good, and then like add some stars for Switch. I mean that would be a really really cool remake to tackle right now.
It's funny because this is probably the first time that I've played Super Mario 64 since I played it on the DS, and it's wild how natural it feels to pick up that 64 controller and immediately I did a triple jump. Immediately I remembered how to do a backflip or the stop and turn. And like, it was just like, oh yeah, this game is always, always going to be this good.
It's weird how our muscle memory works for games that we played for like hundreds of hours when we were kids.
Well, it also helps that Nintendo kept those mechanics fairly close throughout the series.
That's the thing that bothers me about the new Super Mario Brothers series is like, I feel like specifically that series, the physics are bizarro. Like that
the gravity is a little different.
It feels so floatier and there's so much floatier. Yeah. Whereas like the 3D Marios, I feel like you can always predict exactly where you're going to land and how you're going to move, you know? Yeah.
So moving on from everyone's favorite plumber, the most anticipated game of the year, Labo VR. But this is an announcement that we kind of missed last week because they announced it literally 10 minutes after we got out of the recording.
You probably were in the studio when it was announced.
The recording curse, man.
Yeah. I thought Zach was kidding. When he
I thought you were
joking.
Oh yeah, because I was at home. Yeah, I was working from home last week,
recovering from your wisdom teeth removal.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that you had to deal with that.
That's again. Okay.
Everybody can hear the difference.
Yeah, and my voice is much higher now. Yeah. Pure teeth.
But it's coming out on April 12th. It comes with there's VR goggles and blaster as a pack, the camera and elephant as a pack, and the bird and wind pedal. And I think the most interesting of the pack is the bird because you're putting your face into a bird butt. And I have no idea what kind of games are going to go with that.
That's what the staff seemed to be most excited about.
The bird butt.
It was the bird butt.
Yeah,
I like the elephant face.
I'm trying to see what's in those birds' guts.
But
that's how
you
do it.
We're going to get games like Master Sword Attack and Star Fox Cockpit and some other games that go with it. I mean, I'll play a Zelda game with VR, right? Like, whatever.
Which thing
good.
Do you wear?
Probably the, I don't know.
The elephant.
Blaster?
For the Zelda thing?
Yeah.
Probably elephant.
Probably the elephant?
It's like the trunk is the sword or something.
Oh,
like that.
Maybe? I don't know. I guess we'll just have to find out. But I'm excited to see someone wearing an elephant face. on their head in the office.
I am, maybe this is the unpopular opinion, I'm extremely skeptical of this. Yeah. I'm very excited about it, but extremely skeptical.
Oh, mm-hmm. The two PC fanboys in the office hating on the
me and Dan, you
100%.
Mean? Yeah.
If you want to read a full article, we have an article out called Is Nintendo's Labo VR Going to Be Worth It? And it's Dan's negative opinion versus Max's optimistic, this is for kids and it's fine opinion, and you should read it. It's a good piece.
Yeah, and if you want to see a full-grown man have a meltdown on Twitter about a child's toy, follow Dan Stapleton on Twitter.
It was an interesting format for the article because Max gave like an impassioned, cool critique of the Labo, and then Dan just typed no 50,000 times. And we published it. We just ran with it, you know. What are we to say? He's our reviews editor.
So yeah, so one thing I do want to say in regards to Labo VR that is not just hater, but trying to set people's expectations a little bit. This is a thing that you're not strapping to your head, right? It's like you're holding the actual devices up against your face. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we shouldn't be expecting any big games with it, right?
These will be like VR experiences.
Yeah, they're going to be bite-sized things. If you've played with any of Valve's the lab stuff on Vive, I imagine it's going to be stuff like that, real quick mini games that you're playing with these things. I don't think we're going to be getting, you know, super hot VR on Nintendo Labo or anything like
that. You'd probably have the cardboard fling off your face and break your Switch.
I mean, I it's an unfavorable comparison, but I really like the Virtual Boy. But this is the most like the Virtual Boy that Nintendo's gotten in a long time. That system you couldn't strap on your face. You had to kind of crouch and look into a stand for it. You can tell they're not doing that. I think they want it, but that would solve a lot of the problems. But, you know, they want you, I think, moving one arm and holding it up. But, like, if you guys have ever, like, just held binoculars up to your face, like, you get tired pretty fast. Like, you get 5 minutes with them. Looking at the stars at night or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a counterpoint to that is that if they did make it so it was a thing that you strapped on your head, one of the kind of like unseen design features of a lot of VR headsets is counterweights. They have weights in the back that balance out so that you don't have this big heavy thing pulling on your head. So if they just made it out,
I love it with like the strings down, pulleys down to the ground. It's all like this cardboard contraption you stand in, just to counterweight the Labo on your face.
They already did that. They built a robot.
I know. They could totally do it that way.
That'd be pretty amazing. But the argument basically there is just that if they did make it where the thing that's strapped to your face, like it could get really tiring and comfortable in a different way. So that wouldn't necessarily solve the problem.
Now I'm worried about you specifically, Tom, because you're a big cigar smoker, and I'm worried if you have if you have cardboard on your head like that, it could catch on fire. And it'd be really scary.
So are you saying I'm going to be smoking cigars while playing Labo?
Well, I see how you review games. You generally have a big stogie in your mouth and you enjoy yourself.
This slander. Just slander. This and Bridge Builders. You guys just lying about me all the time.
Sam also wrote that article about you smoking cigars, so it's also libel.
It just says no, and it has a picture of you.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about the tech specs, right? Like, I think that's part of Dan's whole tirade against against the VR version.
They're incredibly valid criticisms.
You got to remember, Dan is a guy who like saw the terrible early days of VR and lived it first.
We were all there, yeah,
right. But like he knows what it's like, and he's coming from a place in his article where it's like the original Oculus dev kit was less than a 720p screen, and I think it was the same or a lower frame rate, and it was it was a higher than a 720p screen, and it was the same frame rate. It was 60 FPS, and it was like made you sick.
Yeah, well, the frame rate and the refresh rate of a screen like that, like that's what sends the signals to your brain, like, hey, you're not moving correctly, and we should probably throw up.
And I assume that Nintendo has, like, they don't release terrible broken things usually, so if they've probably got it to a place where it's going to work in bite-sized experiences, but I'm still like really skeptical.
I mean, I have the faith in. I think you hit the nail on the head there that they don't release subpar products, right?
They're not like, going to release something that just makes everyone sick.
I think that they are going to figure out the reason that you don't strap this thing to your head and play through Breath of the Wild in first person. Like, I think it's because they're establishing that this is specifically built for like bite size experiences, right? Like, you're only supposed to be in it for a few minutes at a time or whatever the case might be. But like, I can't imagine that they would go out there and be like, this is a full blown VR headset. Like, please put this on your face and play, you know, Super Mario Odyssey. Like,
yeah.
Have you guys seen all of Black Mirror or a lot of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's one overarching theme that's basically in every episode, which is like, never let people install something that in your brain that will make you see things.
Right.
Yeah. Just don't let that happen because you can't take it out. And I think Nintendo probably saw those. They're like, we just need to make it really easy for people to get this VR out of their face.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I mean,
it's a safety thing.
It's also really interesting because I feel like
every episode, it's like, why did you put that in your brain, dummy?
Haven't they said publicly that they weren't exploring any of the any VR technology? I feel like I want to say that Nintendo has said that on record.
Well, this is cardboard, Zach, so can you call it technology?
I mean, they're calling it VR. Like,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, like, but I do think that that's interesting because we've hypothesized on this show, like, what would Nintendo VR look and feel like? And I think Pear said it to me, you know, maybe even a month ago. He was, if they were to ever go VR, it would be something to do with Labo. And
here we are.
Hey, whoa. Like, yeah, smart guy.
So moving on, we got an announcement for Dead Cells, which was our action game of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
So really high accolade. I think a lot of people really liked it. We're getting the free update is coming on March 28th for the PC. We don't have the date for the Switch just yet, but it's coming with a new area called the Caverns, 50 outfits, 10 new enemies, 3 new skills, 10 weapons. One of the weapons is called the Boy Axe, which is a callback to God of War, which is fun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy.
And an axe.
Spelled with an I.
Yeah, with an I. But, yeah, I don't know. I really like Dead Cells. I'm not a side-scrolling platformy type game person, but I actually really like Dead Cells.
Yeah, this is a cool update, and in regards to date, usually these updates don't follow too far behind on the consoles. So, you know, probably sometime early April, I'd imagine it comes to Switch. Maybe, don't hold me to that, though. This is cool because not only are we getting a whole new area called the Caverns with a new boss, there's actually a whole, like, hidden area that is going to be, like,
for hardcore players.
Yeah,
right?
It's like a super hard area that is going to add an alternate ending to the game, which is kind of crazy and cool. Like, they're doing a lot to keep this game alive.
Yeah, I guess my question about this is, like, is this enough for you to want to go back to Dead Cells? Personally, I played so much of it when it came out, and when I got to the end of that game, literally dropped my Switch and was like, great, I did it. I never have to look at this game again because it's, like, so hard and so punishing.
You,
like,
think your skills would be rusty, too?
Oh, God, yeah. But, like, I enjoyed my time with it, but at the end of it, I was like, I never want to play this again. Like, I did it, I beat it, and that's it for me. Like,
wait, how long did it take you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's 7 full weeks.
Oh,
now no, I don't, what if, I don't what remember. If, what if I say this? They're adding cosmetics.
No, I don't care. Sorry.
You can make your character look cool.
I do think it's cool that, like, a lot of those cosmetics, like, they talk about 50 outfits here, but I bet you, like, we get, like, exclusive stuff on the Switch, too. Like, you know, like, that'd a little Breath cool. of the Wild outfit
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't. I just realized that I'm winking aggressively at you, but, like, nobody can see that. So
my threshold for returning to DLC, I've realized it's. I'm not trying for this, but it's so high. Like Breath of the Wild, I played all the DLC. I love Trial of the Sword, but that's, like, my favorite game in the past 30 years.
You know? I didn't realize you were into that game.
Yeah, and but Resident Evil 2 this year, I adore that game. I played straight through the post game runs. I did all the tofu stuff, and then the DLC came out, and I was so excited, but I never played it.
That well, DLC, like, just like, came out, though. That was only, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm never going to go back now.
Why?
Because like, it's just different here. It's,
coward.
It's different when you work in an industry where you have to play all the latest stuff. And I've moved on. I've played, like, 3 games since then, and I haven't liked any of them. And I should be just be playing Resident Evil 2.
Well, a game with the early access.
Are you still playing Kingdom Hearts?
No.
I don't want to talk about
that. Don't make him talk.
I am playing Devil May Cry, though.
Yeah.
Ooh. A game with the early access lineage of a game like
talk
Dead Cells 2 is, oh, man, is the nice thing is if you have a high threshold for DLC and updates, you can probably, like, I don't know if they're going to keep updating it, but you could probably wait another year and come back, and there'll be a lot of new stuff in
and
Dead
maybe
Cells.
Maybe you get it for $9.99 with everything in it.
Yeah. Well, this is a free update, so they're going to keep, as far as I know, just keep doing that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Free.
Yeah, so that's probably neat. More and more will come. So if you don't want to jump right back in for just, like, a couple new areas, you can probably wait a little, like, a few more months and get more and more.
It's hard to think of, like, critically, like, what was DLC that really mattered that, like, we all, like, all agree that it's like, man, that was the way to do it. It just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, I guess Zelda. I'm trying to think of other games that came out with more DLC recently that, I mean, I'm looking forward to Monster Hunter World's DLC later this year.
Almost everything has
Splatoon
it
2 had a huge expansion last year.
Yeah.
The single player drop for Splatoon seemed really cool.
It was really cool. It was super cool. We got
at least
some,
that's like a persistent game that people keep playing. Instead of like
we got some DLC for Mario.
Yeah. Are we talking Switch only or generally?
No, just generally. It's just
Witcher 3.
This is a Nintendo thing, guys.
Witcher 3 in its first year did 16 free updates. And then in its
the one with
year,
the fairy tale castle was super cool with the vampire.
Yeah, well, that's after that, Blood and Wine.
Yeah, then they did the Blood and Wine expansion, and then they did the Hearts of Stone expansion, and then they did Blood and Wine. And Blood and Wine was like a 40-hour game pretty much.
So there's a single-player game with a ton of worthwhile DLC content.
Dude, The Witcher is top 10
And then people
all-time
say that about Skyrim, too.
Yeah,
it never pulled me back in.
Except for the horse armor.
That was Oblivion.
That was Oblivion. Yeah. Oh, I'll shut
Skyrim,
up.
Skyrim, though, had the separate that whole island they added.
Right.
And it had a lot more dragon stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they added the whole like vampire quest line.
Is all that stuff on Switch? It must be, right?
Yeah,
on
the and Skyrim added a bunch of stuff to your werewolf, so you could just like stay a werewolf and added skill trees to it.
The Monster Hunter, that'll be a big DLC, right?
Yeah, that'll be
Or is it a standalone?
It's big DLC.
What's it called? The Frozen North?
That'll be a big one.
Iceborne.
I was way off.
It's cold.
The Frozen Samsonite. Wilds. That was for Horizon.
Cold stuff.
Yeah.
The cold stuff. Right. The cold stuff expansion. Mm-hmm. Hey, another game that we all really liked last year is Octopath Traveler. Mm-hmm. And it's been confirmed that a new console game is in the works. And before that comes out, which is we have no idea when, this year a mobile game called Champions of the Continent is coming to iOS and Android.
Super cool.
It's going to be a free-to-play game. It's a prequel. We don't technically know if it's going to come out anywhere besides Japan this year to be
given the fact that Octopath sold so well and was published by Nintendo and Nintendo's moving a lot of stuff into their mobile efforts, I feel like we probably have a pretty good chance of seeing this Octopath game on iOS or Android.
Yeah, I completely
in the
agree.
States. Yeah,
I'm glad the style is going to live on from that game. I think it's
super
just
cool.
They knocked it out of the park with how it looks.
It's beautiful.
I really like the idea of having like a traditional-ish RPG on iOS. Like I think that's like designed for iOS. Yeah. You know, like I a couple of years ago I played through a lot of Final Fantasy IX on my phone, and like that was fine. But the idea of having like a Square developed RPG
made
on iOS, like that seems cool to me. I'd love to play something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if it'd be that or more like what's the most recent Nintendo mobile game that you
Dragalia Lost.
Yeah.
Dragalia. Mm-hmm. Something more like that or the Fire Emblem where it's like, you know, a bite-sized version that has a lot of
gotcha stuff in it.
So yeah, gotcha here's stuff. What they had to say about the game. It will feature the distinctive HD 2D art style, an 8-character party system with command-based battles, a protagonist who is the, quote, chosen one, and will fight
is
against...
Is this the console game or the mobile?
This is the mobile game. Okay. And you will fight against a great evil that has achieved fortune, power, and fame.
I'm in it for the great evil. Say no more.
And you're going to get field commands back like listen and steal.
Sweet.
So, So it just sounds like a scaled down version of the original game, but it's a prequel. So that's cool.
That's
I'm into
pretty
it.
Rare on a phone these days just to get like a single player big RPG game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really interested in how it would work and if they're going to have a gacha style things to get more characters to add to your party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested. I'm into it.
It's shocking that you'd be interested in a gacha style game.
But
console-wise, like it is so much better to have that on Switch than anything else. Like it was great being able to play that on a plane and stuff like that, which I played mostly while I was traveling and just sitting in anywhere I wanted to. And I don't know how much I want to be chained to a console and be playing a long RPG at this point than 2D.
Yeah.
This is the kind of game that I brought with me when I was on vacation. Whenever I had downtime, I could just pick it up and play it for a little bit. And since I could pause. And
it's so compartmentalized, right? Like you can go to any of the spots and like pick up where you left off. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. It was very relaxing for me. I liked it a lot.
But
I'm looking
I did
forward
not
forward to
it.
Those. So, hey, I haven't beaten it either. The only people in the office who beat it were Seth, who reviewed it, and Terry.
Terry actually didn't finish it. Yeah,
she's
stuck
at
the last boss still. Yeah,
but she really stuck with it. She played it for months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that was her game that she'd go and play and relax and play. Like I thought that was really cool. I mean,
yeah, I think I run into the same problem with Sam is that I have to move on to new games faster, so I have less time to play games that I'm not specifically working on.
This year has been cool. Well. I don't know. You can take this with a grain of salt, but with the exception of Resident Evil 2 and a couple of other things here and there, like there hasn't been a ton of stuff that I've been really, really interested in playing. So I've actually been going back and playing some older stuff that I missed, or you know. So that's been really nice.
Like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So also, we got a Nintendo Switch Online update with some new March games, and we're getting Kid Icarus and Star Tropics, and those are actually available now, which is why. Our wiki traffic for Star Tropics is really up because people are looking for walkthroughs, right?
Did you see that?
I think I overheard you talking about
it. I was saying the search volume is for Star Tropics walkthrough. It was like higher than some other terms, which I was surprised by. Mm-hmm. And you need it for that game. You need a walkthrough. It's very confusing. It's not that fun of a game either. It's okay.
Tell us about it.
People that played it like, early on, are like, it's an RPG, but it's more in the accessible style that like comparable. It probably would compare favorably to Zelda at the time, though I don't think it's a Zelda-like. Top down. Hit stuff, walk around, solve puzzles. So that game's fine. But Kid Icarus I thought was a strange choice because that's the one that should be released with extra stuff. And the Zelda 2 version that they released is a brilliant idea, and I know we're going to get to that. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo did a 3DS version of Kid Icarus a while ago where they made him float Uprising. A little bit. Not that game. 3D Kid Icarus. It was called NES Classics 3D Kid Icarus. And it was just Kid Icarus, and you could put on the 3D effect and like draw into the background. You know,
cool.
Like remade 3D Kid Icarus of the NES game, and it added floatiness and it balanced a couple other things out, and it made it so possible to play it. It was so fun, but Kid Icarus like standalone is way too hard and not that fun anymore.
Hmm.
So I wish they had been giving it the treatment that as I'm sure you're going to segue into.
Yeah, as Sam was saying, we're getting special editions of Kirby's Adventure and Zelda 2. And for Kirby's Adventure, that means you start with 100% game.
What? Why?
What did I just say?
No, like, why would you start with 100%? That's
it. This is funny.
Kirby's Adventure, except this time you don't have to play it.
You don't have to play it.
That is a good reason. It automatically unlocks every difficulty of all the mini games. It lets you start a new game on hard mode.
Which you need to do because the game is too easy. It's really smart.
So it lets you start already on hard mode. You don't have to go through it.
So it's the opposite of what they're doing with Zelda 2.
Yes. With Zelda 2, you start with max attack, magic, and life at level 8, so you can start the game with everything maxed out, so it's easier.
Which I love. Like, I think Zelda 2 is a cool game, but it took, and I know you have sort of a similar story.
Yep.
It took me like 4 or 5 attempts. Like, I tried that game so many times, started it, and was just like, this sucks, it's too hard, and put it down, and then come back to it like years later. Before I finally got through it. And the idea that you start with max attack, max magic, a life level of 8, that'll make that game so much easier. You will have to grind so much less at the beginning. And so those of, you know, the people that haven't had the opportunity to play through Zelda or Zelda 2 or found it too challenging, like, this is a great way to play it now. Like, it's super cool.
It's worth playing just to see cool graphics, see all these references that other games make to it. Like, all the characters in that game are names of places in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know that unless you play it. And then, like, there's a really, really good set of dungeons and puzzles and overworld that if you don't have to worry about dying, you can actually, like, learn a lot about the history of Zelda by playing that game.
And it's such a different Zelda game. Like, it's so, so different from any other game in that franchise.
It has really good music, too.
I tried playing this game for the first time when it came out on that the GameCube Collectors.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
With Nintendo Power, I think. And I did not get very far in it, but having this new special edition is really enticing to try and go back and beat it.
It's
not a super long game, either.
Yeah, you can get through it pretty fast. It's a wonderful game. Like, it's a great, cool, interesting Shigeru Miyamoto designed game that if you have, like, any respect for the craft and, like, really want to see, like, what all the options were when Zelda started, like, that game is the weirdest, strangest spin-off Zelda game. And the way I think to play it before now was save states. Save states made it really, really much more tolerable to play. And so now, like, this is a way to get around, like, this kind of obsessive save state version of playing, which what I did. Also, I had Jared Petty help me,
and if you guys just
I suggest you do that. He was in the office at the time, so I was able to say, like, yeah, it was his favorite Zelda game and favorite game of all time, right?
No,
I think
Jared's favorite Zelda game, and I kid you not, is Twilight Princess.
Yeah. But he always says Zelda 2 is his favorite game in some context. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah,
famous NES game. But I recommend everybody out there use that same resource. So when you get stuck in Zelda 2, just at Jared Petty, and he'll help you. He'll help you through it.
Once a wiki's guide, always a wiki's guide.
Exactly. So, hey, let's move on to some news. And so I don't know if you guys are interested in this, but they released Fire Emblem Three Houses English theme, like, on a Nintendo Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play you guys some of that track. I think, let's see if this works. All right. And it's not blaringly loud. I fixed it, Zach.
Cool.
So we're getting... How do you feel, Sam?
I have a single tear rolling down my giant mustache.
Sam just
covers my whole body.
Sam just looked like he was having a tough time.
So we're getting another game with an lyrical theme song, like we did with Smash, and this is something that's kind of new.
And we did with Odyssey.
Yeah, same thing. Okay, yeah. What do you guys think about getting theme songs with lyrics in them now?
Well, as someone who just finished Persona 5, I am totally on board with video game songs with lyrics in them. I'm all about that new trend, if it's not even a new trend. But I don't know. I feel like it's cool for Nintendo. It's definitely new for Nintendo. I'm cool with it, and I think it's neat.
It's like a very Japanese, very anime-leaning sort of thing.
Yes. And
like, all about it.
Like the intro song.
Square Enix has always done this. The first game that they did it for was Final Fantasy VIII. They did. They had a love theme from Final Fantasy VIII called Eyes on Me, and that was like the big time. The first time that I remember, that's how it goes. Eyes on Me. Yeah. It's a good song. But they've been doing that forever. So like I think that it's really cool that Nintendo is doing this because it helps you associate, you know, so much more emotion, so much more like, oh yeah, this is the song from that game. Like, yeah.
I mean, I still get the 10-2 theme stuck in my head sometimes.
Sing it right now.
What can I do to you?
That's the game where they're dancers, right?
Yes, yeah. They are dancers, and that is the intro song.
When I hear this, it just makes me think about when you're at E3 and the Nintendo booth only has one song and loop the whole time. and like the Super Mario Odyssey.
Dude.
Super Mario Odyssey. You just hear it constantly.
That year, you guys have not experienced like that level of I remember I said this to Tom. I was like, I never want to hear Jump Up Superstar again in my life. And he's like, why? I love that song. It's so catchy. And it's like, for 4 days straight on the E3 show floor, because our booth was right across from Nintendo's, it was just Jump Up Superstar on loop over and over again. And I remember I went to their booth to play Odyssey that year, and I ran into a friend of mine who was working for their PR team, and I was like, oh, hey, how do you feel about this song? And she was like, I want to die. Like, I hate it so much. Like, I hate it because she was in the booth. Like,
it's like
so
working
brutal.
Retail during Christmas time. You hear the same four songs over again for a month.
Who doesn't love rocking around the Christmas tree, though, Mary?
Well, hey, maybe year we'll go to the E3 booth and get to hear this song over and over on repeat.
I'm on board.
Yeah, Fire Emblem-themed E3 booth, that's all they have.
So this is something that I was thinking about earlier this week with Pokemon, Fire Emblem.
Maybe Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing, those three. Well, I guess we have a date for Fire Emblem, or a date-ish.
Link's Awakening?
Link's Awakening. So what is going to be the theme of their booth? Because the last few years, first it was 2016 was Zelda, 2017 was Odyssey, and 2018
Smash.
Last year was Smash.
Yeah, but it was. It wasn't only Smash.
Yeah, exactly. So they finally comparatively, broke
it
up again. Yeah.
It was like, but like it was, it was an open stage set this year. Mm-hmm. Like in the previous years, they've had some more of like a close like. 2017, it was New Donk City, and it had the balloon and Mario.
Those 2 years when it was only one game, I loved.
Yeah.
And like last year, they brought back like you could play tennis on the floor and you could play other stuff, but it was basically themed around a stage.
The stage itself had the big key art with all the characters on it.
Yeah, and then they had the weapons for every single
character. That was really cool.
They had a lot more nindies at E3 this year, and they had Killer Queen Black, and they had a lot of other.
Killer Queen,
they had Towerfall on the floor. Maybe I'm misremembering that.
I think they had
Pokemon Let's Go too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Let's Go.
Yeah, but they didn't have like themed stuff on the floor.
I wouldn't be surprised if they
could go full Pokemon, but I think they're just going to do kiosk stuff.
I guess this is a bigger conversation, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this year was just no one center game and it was a lot of little things.
Yeah, I would like so much for it to be Pokemon themed. Like, I think it'd be so cool if it was themed after that like major city with the big clock tower from the new trailer. Oh,
I'd be so
cool.
Into it.
And like the side panels would be like, you know, the countryside.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, they could just nail that theme.
I mean, the way that they did Hyrule in 2016
that was awesome.
Absolutely nuts.
Yep.
Yeah,
and they closed it, so you had to get in.
You had to go through. You had to go through a shrine to get into it. Yeah. Oh God, that was so cool.
I went into that booth so many times.
Yeah, I went in like two or three times.
I had someone like sneak me in just so I could like see it.
You can't say that on a podcast.
I think I met you that year.
You did. Yeah, that was the year that I met you guys.
Mm-hmm. You enjoyed.
It was a fun time.
What a little trip down memory lane we did, guys. Nice work.
But we were already working together. It's just we met in person.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, because you started in January but didn't move out here until...
Well, that was when I was a freelancer.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there. I was actually representing GameSpot's booth next to your booth.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to sneak away and then write for wikis at the end of the show.
Can't say GameSpot on an IGN.
What were you doing? What were you doing wiki-wise at that conference?
Pokemon. Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Shocking. Yeah.
So I'd like be standing across from the Nintendo booth and watching them like announce all this new stuff while I'm like at the GameSpot booth, not able to go to my computer, and like at the very end, I'd like immediately go to the computer and update everything at night.
Yeah. See, that is a model freelance. That's how you get a job at IGN. Nailed it.
Work until your fingers bleed. Just
whenever something new happens, update it.
But then you get the job and you can just relax.
Yeah.
And yeah, Casey.
Yeah, I'm just
talk to me about Monster Hunter. How relaxing was that experience?
I only worked like 2 hours a day.
No, that was sleep.
Oh, well, yeah. No, you're right. My brain's a little scrambled.
But keg of wine.
But keg of wine.
Empty keg
of wine. The real reason you work here. So really quick, I just wanted to mention that Twitch is playing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate now, and it is a complete mess. And it's,
dude, I love Twitch when Twitch plays like this community
Twitch
stuff.
Twitch plays Pokemon was the best. Yeah. It came with like the best memes that you...
That was amazing.
It was great.
Time.
Yeah, it was a good time. I don't know if Smash Bros. Ultimate is going to come up with the same memes, because playing an action game as Twitch plays is incredibly difficult. And if you're unfamiliar with how that works, people in the chat will input what to do. So they'll be like, press A or like hold up to like get around the map and to fight. And it's usually
half
the time.
It selects one action like every couple seconds or something like that?
Yeah, it's like whatever is being put in the most. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to time it. It was much easier with Pokemon, which is like press A. Or right. Like you would know how to...
Is there like a mode that this is tied to?
Someone programs it. They're in World of Light. They're playing World of Light.
Oh, that's what I was going to... Yeah, so it is the single player World of Light.
Yeah, they're trying to unlock all the characters.
That's so... That's going to be so complicated because you have to go into your menu and like equip different spirits and stuff to get through some of those battles.
Someone would be like, we're going into the menu and we're going to equip healing spirits. All right, go. And then everyone like tries to...
And it's always 50% troll, right? But I remember really cool. There was like off hours times in which it got like a little quieter and things got done in Pokemon during
the best times. 4 o'clock in the morning, Twitch plays.
Yep.
There's also Nintendo Switch has a really good deal going on until March 16th. So if you're late to listening to this, I'm really sorry. But I think the best deal is on Walmart. It comes with a third-party controller and some like Mario pins. Mm-hmm. But I think Switch everywhere right now is on sale. So
yeah, I saw that deal and it was like, a Nintendo Switch, a controller, a game half off, and I was like, well, I have a Switch, I don't need a controller, I have this, and then it was like, and pins, and I was like, do I need a second Switch right now? Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's $330 for all of that stuff right now, and you get your choice of Mario game for half off.
Like, that's pretty great.
So if you don't already have a Switch, this is a good deal.
There's actually a surprising amount of listeners to NVC that write in every week, and they're like, oh, yeah, when I get a Switch, like, you know, that'll be really cool.
So, hey.
And we would recommend you get Odyssey or Kart.
Yeah.
Depending on your setup at your house. Mm-hmm.
If you want multiplayer, get Kart. If you want a single player, get Odyssey.
Or Party, for that matter. Party's pretty good.
Party is good. I like Party for multiplayer. I feel like it was a little bit lacking in content compared to previous Mario parties.
I think the easier question is, would you recommend Party over Odyssey to someone getting a Switch?
Mm, okay.
Yeah. But it's still a really fun party game.
You have like, you know, a bunch of kids or something, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Play. I would hope Kart would be a better party game than Party in every scenario. I hope.
Because you can still play Kart single
Party's
player.
Right there
time.
In the title. It's called
it's
Mario
Party.
Party.
It's good for a party.
Plus, you can flip that meat. That's pretty cool.
That I love the meat game.
You can also cook
great.
The meat.
Yeah.
That meat cube.
The flipping is the important part. Yeah.
It's a good game. But hey, there are some new games out this week. First one, Tom, I know you put this on here originally last week, but we didn't get to talk about it. Valley.
Yeah, I just wanted a quick mention. I think we actually gave it like a 5 when we reviewed it. Our reviewer did not like it, and the opinion is split, but it's one to just take a look at. Like, don't immediately go run out the door and grab it, but it's this game where you get this thing called a leaf suit, and you can run like insanely fast. It kind of harkens back if anybody played Tribes. It feels very quick with that momentum.
Is it 3D like Tribes?
It's
so
a
you get
like, game.
Momentum, and you're like going up and down hills.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of like the fantasy. If you've ever like, that's a common dream people have, is that they figured out they could run and like fly. That's where those kind of game designs come from.
There's a less successful kind of life and death killing combat mechanic within it, and it's a pretty short game. It's only like 3 to 4 hours, but it's just one that in an age where, you know, a lot of stuff can get lost, it might be worth looking at. I know, like, if you go on Metacritic or Open Critic, the scores on it range from like 9 to 5. Like, it is really a divisive game, and so just take a look.
Okay. And another game that's out today, which is Wednesday for us, March 13th, is Baba Is You. And I know we've talked about this a lot in previous episodes, and I haven't gotten to play it yet. Have you gotten to play it yet?
Yeah.
Right. Thomas playing it this morning when I went over
all
his
about
desk.
It.
Yeah.
This is the game of the words and the black screen stuff.
You play as Baba because Baba is you.
Well, unless you play as Rock because Rock is you, or Wall.
Also Robot is you.
Or
Robot
Flag.
Robot was me for a bit. There's a lot. It's a weird game. It's impossibly weird to describe. The rules of the game are text on the screen, and you can push them around like blocks and change the rules.
You're essentially doing like super basic programming.
Not even that.
No, that's what it is.
I'm with Zach here, and I haven't seen or played this game.
It's a puzzle game fundamentally, and programming is like. But the way you applies a little more freedom than this game has.
But the way that the words are permutable like that allows you to switch the rules around like at your own will. So maybe that's a better way.
And it's like 8-bit top down looking.
It's very simple. It's almost like crayon drawings, the art style. It's very, very like intentionally sort of childish looking. I'm about 2 or 3 hours into it, and I'm in love with it so far. I know that there's apparently some people saying some of the like once you get to the like 100 plus levels, right? You're like it kind of isn't as amazing, but I'm really excited to get there. This is a game that has won multiple IGF awards over the years. It has been hotly anticipated for a while.
Oh, the Imagine Games Fet work.
What? That's quite a niche joke. So it's a very, very cool puzzle game. I'm very excited to play more of it. I know Casey.
I'm super excited to play this. And I've been really looking forward to
Brian, it. Brian was saying he was looking forward to playing it too. So, one to look at.
So another game or DLC that's out today is the Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, and it's out on March 13th. The co-op update is free, so if you have that game, you can play it co-op now. And for $5.99, you get 18 new challenges across 5 new courses, and some of those courses are actually based on Mario Odyssey stages. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, look, it'd be pretty cool.
I am a Captain Toad evangelist. I love Captain Toad. I think it's like one of the best Nintendo like IPs that's come out in the last few years. I think it's so smart and so fun and challenging. Like when you really like, if you're really looking to get everything 100% that game, it's tough. And I'm just so excited that there's more Captain Toad to play because like I played it on the Wii U. I played it when it came to Switch and I blew through it. And so when I saw that in the Direct last month, I was just so stoked that they went back and added because I thought they were absolutely done with Captain Toad.
Well, and this is one of those games that's a really good example of how Nintendo should be doing DLC, where it's by design these digestible little screens with a bunch of things
going on. Little dioramas.
Yeah, and so the idea of just like, oh yeah, I'll pay $5 every 6 months for more Captain Toad levels, like I don't think they're going to do that probably, but it's so cool. Like I would totally do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, he's just so cute.
He is. Captain Toad for Smash. Captain Toad has always been one of my Smash.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Can you guys all do Toad impressions?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
I'm terrible.
Sam, give us yours.
I don't think I can either. I just like what he sounds like.
What? Sam just was like, it's me, Captain Toad. Yeah. Here I am.
Hey.
Let's go on an adventure.
So, hey, what are you guys playing?
What can we talk about?
So
you guys can talk about Yoshi.
Yeah, you guys go first.
Yeah, I've been playing Yoshi. Sam and I played co-op, and it was fun.
I'll just back up what Tom says because I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
I do. We got Yoshi's Crafted World.
Yep.
There's previews of folk just went up. We have a whole this month IGN First that's going up, so we've been posting levels that you can see, exclusive levels on IGN.com, and then the game doesn't come out until like the 29th, so I have to be a little careful about what we say because there's different embargo-y thingies. But it's super cool, and I've been enjoying it. And it's like – it's kind of what I was expecting from Yoshi, a Yoshi game, right? Like it's very fun. It's not overly complex. It's not overly difficult, and it's a cool Yoshi game.
And
like,
where do you stand in Yoshi's story?
I think Yoshi's story is great, and you two think it's terrible.
What did the office say when you said that?
Not the office. You two sitting right here,
Zach and Sam,
were like, Yoshi's story is a terrible game. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I believe Justin was in on that, and Damon was too, and everybody's sitting over there.
I think Yoshi's story is great. I think that music will be in my brain until the day I die.
Yeah.
And I like all the Yoshi games. Not necessarily my favorite Nintendo platformers, but they're just like – they're always reliable, I feel like. They're just fun games.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is because I think that people are worried that this will be – and I'm worried that this will be too simple and be too much like Yoshi's story, not enough like Yoshi's Island.
Mm.
But I played enough of it with you that I can allay those fears. I don't think it's like that. I think it's enough game that you'll be entertained by.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've been noticing is like this is a very Nintendo-y style as well. Basically every level is some new mechanic, right? Or new thing, new gimmick. And they start out simple and then get a little more complex and then get harder by the end of it. And then you basically don't see it again. And that's kind of it keeps this game, even though it is very simple, and it is, like, I mean, not overly simple, but it is pretty easy. Each level is pretty easy.
Unless you're playing always, with a friend, and then it's just
everything. Oh, then it's just chaos.
Yeah, it's total chaos.
It's madness. The co-op is maybe actually busted.
We played for a long time, though.
Yeah.
Is it busted as in too easy, or is it just too chaotic?
No, it doesn't make it easier. It makes it harder.
It makes it very hard. There's a really cool co-op option where if you jump on somebody else's back, then the person a Yoshi riding a Yoshi is a whole thing that I don't want to get into. But you can the person know. the riding Yoshi, the rider, is
yeah. Say more.
Can throw the eggs, and the ride-e gets to move. Zach is giving me eyebrows that are making me very uncomfortable. And so you can basically play it double dash style, where one person controls the movement, and the other person controls the attacks, and you just never need to jump off.
But we never did that.
No, we didn't. I don't know why. We just kind of
because when you jump on somebody, you accidentally latch onto them and you lose all your darn eggs.
No, the jumping you don't. When you eat somebody, you can grab them in your mouth, and then that person literally just can't get away. And then they also drop all their eggs immediately.
Like joint finances.
Yeah, that's an apt metaphor.
Wow.
But instead of your eggs combining, you lose half your eggs.
Well.
It's like divorce, but you're
stuck okay?
with the person.
Is everything okay, Casey? Yeah. Are you all right?
That's what it's more like.
You know.
It's more like divorce, but you're stuck with the person.
Yeah. No, it's...
You lose half your stuff, but you're still married. You're closer than ever.
Isn't that what happens when you have a kid?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Dark.
No, I really went off the rails on that.
It's fun, though, and I'm interested in playing more and talking about it more once we can talk about it more, but yeah.
I can't wait for this game. I have such a soft spot for Yoshi games, with the exception of Yoshi's Story. I don't like Yoshi's Story. But I loved Woolly World, and this feels like a exact successor to Woolly World. So
It's actually funny how – and anybody who's played the demo knows this already, but it's funny how much not making it yarn actually does change the gameplay because there's none of that throw the ball at the – make the platform. Like all that stuff is gone. It's much more like a traditional Yoshi game in the mechanics now.
Yeah.
It worries me. I shouldn't say it worries me. Here's an interesting thing. Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild and Splatoon and Mario Kart are all these giant successors to great games. Yoshi's Story – or Yoshi – what is it called?
Crafted World
is not. It's just like another Yoshi
just another
game.
Thing. Time out. It's a direct sequel to Yoshi's Woolly World, which is a great game.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's not expanding on it in some like amazing, like revolutionary way. It's just another one.
It feels a bit Nintendo cookie cutter. And that doesn't mean it's a bad game.
Which was another Yoshi's game.
Yoshi's cookie cutter.
No, but it's more of a copy than like an iteration. And that's fine, but it's almost like we're seeing now that Switch has, you know, console games like Breath of the Wild, and it has handheld games like this game. And I think there's like Nintendo has, you know, development wings that can do both those and make kind of simpler, fun, you know, popcorn games and these giant, massive, sprawling games. And this just isn't the giant, massive, sprawling game.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
I mean, I think there's audiences for both of those, right? Like,
absolutely.
I know that
there used to be consoles for both of those. There used to be a 3DS and a Wii, and that's why I think it's a little bit weird that they're combined now, and we're going to start seeing more, you know, varied experience.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in the office had a similar reaction to Kirby last year, and I really loved Kirby, but a lot of people are like, "Well, it's just more Kirby." I'm like, yeah, those games are like they represent a second tier of Nintendo that I feel like aren't mind blowing or like. You know, they don't break the mold, but they do offer a similarly solid experience, and therefore, like, big Nintendo
they're
fans
good.
Like us. Like, yeah.
The weird thing for me is that Kirby's always been garbage, but Yoshi's Island, the first game, is so
good. Why do we even invite you on this show?
Yoshi's Island is such a good game. It was
so is Kirby.
So is Kirby.
Which Kirby?
Any
All
of them.
Of them.
Yeah. Most of them.
It's like
Superstar.
Most Kirby's are
Superstar
good.
Is like.
Are, keep
amazing.
Cutting it down to the ones that matter. Superstar, give me a break.
Superstar is great.
Great Cave Offensive? Great Cave
That's
Offensive?
That's the only
Milky
good
Way.
Thing in
no,
it.
No, Milky Way Galaxy is so good too because you can choose your powers. Ah, I love Milky Way.
Y'all are nuts. Kirby's Dream Course. That's the real Kirby.
Dream Course is good.
I mean,
Canvas
that was
Curse
a good
is
one.
Good.
Canvas Curse is
good. Those games are good. But Yoshi's Island is amazing.
Like, but they're like very good. You know what I mean? Like I would say that.
But none of them are like
Yoshi and Kirby.
Kirby's Tilt and Tumble.
Nobody's going to give Kirby.
I did really okay. I didn't expect to get that response, Sam.
Well, I like how it had the attachment that like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Nobody's going to give Kirby or Yoshi game like a 10 out of 10.
But I think Yoshi's Island is a 10 out of 10.
Yoshi's Island is a 10 out of 10. Yeah. Yoshi's Island is one of the most important platformers of all time.
I'm just saying Kirby never had that.
Yeah, but Sam, what about Yoshi's Story?
Maybe a 4.
All right.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, hey, before we went into time.
We have plenty of time. We're doing audio now.
Yeah,
we
can, it doesn't even matter. Talk about Breath of the Wild.
Well, I'll change the tape and we'll get back.
I'm in honor of the Switch's 2-year anniversary, I'm replaying Breath of the Wild. I've got 2 Divine Beasts down, and I am absolutely floored by the amount of like joy that I'm having just replaying that game. Hmm. And I played this game 3 times all the way through in 2017. I played it once on my own. I played it once with Brian for Link Together, and then I did the Master Quest. And I'm going back to it just like regular mode. And I'm so surprised at like how differently I'm playing it. You know, the routes that I'm taking. I don't know why anybody wouldn't go to the Rito Village first. Like Revali's Gale is by far and away the best power in the game. The ability to,
but I didn't know that the jumping time, one? So
ability to shoot you halfway up a climb is so
smart.
Clutch. Like, yeah, it's
especially
awesome.
Before you have all your endurance to get higher.
It's so great.
That's really smart.
It's just it's such a fantastic game.
Is that on our tips page?
Should be.
I was talking to Alana, a friend of the show, Alana Pierce, about Breath of the Wild, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm really afraid to go back to it because it's only been 2 years. I want to go back when it's been like 5." And I told her, I was like, I'm having such a good time replaying it, and it's still such an amazing game. You know, like I don't feel like, oh, I just played this or I just did these things, because you can play it so wildly differently than you have previous times. You know,
Damon's playing through it again right now. Also,
really,
it's weird that you guys are.
Damon and I, it's really funny. Damon and I have like in the last couple of years, we have found out that we're both playing the same games at the same time.
I think you guys both went back to Odyssey.
We did. Yeah, we were both playing Odyssey at the same time.
I think that means you guys are twins.
Yeah.
Separated at birth.
See, I assumed it's just
I do look a lot like Damon. We are both whites with beards.
Oh, so, man. Same person.
Uh-huh.
But Eric Sapp is one of our designers, and he went back and is playing it for the first time. And
He just got a Switch.
Yeah, he just got a Switch, so he's been tweeting about his experiences, and I think that has inspired a lot of people to start it up
again. That's the reason why I did it, because like he was posting all these like clips and like, you know, he posted a screen grab of him, like he just stumbled into the forest and found the Master Sword and couldn't lift it at first, and was just like, wrote this whole thing about, you know, like, oh my god, I came into the forest and I found the sword, but I couldn't get it, how do I do it? And like, I was like, man, I gotta play this game again. It's so good.
It's really good.
It's so freaking good.
So I'm playing not a whole lot of actual Nintendo because I'm working on the Devil May Cry guide, but I'm almost done. But in my free time, I started playing a Pokemon tabletop RPG based off of the rules from Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition.
Super cool.
Who made it? Just a fan?
So, yeah. So, a fan on... I should bring
a fan
up,
name. Casey DeFries.
A fan name. Casey DeFries. No, I should bring up that guy's name. But a fan on Reddit posted a rule book that looks just like... It's a PDF and it looks like very similar to the D&D rule book and made
using
a system...
Like Pokemon Key Art, or did he do his own art?
Yeah, Pokemon Key Art, and but like he transferred... He made the stats like into D&D stats and descriptions and like made the rules work so it would work with D&D, and we've been having a ton of fun with it, and it's a great time, and I love it. And if you're interested in the rule book, I posted it on Twitter a while ago, and I tweet updates about it if you're curious.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I like it. I'm enjoying it. So hey, we do have some questions for a little not game called Question Block.
I'm not going to fight you on that. I do think it's a game.
We're going to do this every episode. This is now a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first question we have from, and I have no idea how to pronounce this. I'm sorry. It's a screen name on Twitter. I think his like written out name was like Ari Get In Your Own Tier, which is a League of Legends character, but REWL1Ray on Twitter says, if someone had never played a video game before but wanted to try one out, what game would you recommend they play first, Nintendo or otherwise?
Pac-Man.
Why Pac-Man?
Chimps can play it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow. So
like successfully?
Also, yeah, and also like 2.5-year-olds can play. It's like the earliest possible game people can play.
Oh, man.
So it's like, if you want to know, you know, if you've never seen a television screen and are amazed by that and have never seen a joystick, you might be able to sort it out still.
Super Mario World.
Like, that's...
It's a perfect game. Like, why wouldn't you start at the top?
That's what I was thinking, too, because Mario was the first game that I played, and but I also had someone sitting next to me to teach me how to play when I was, like, I don't know, 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I feel like Sam's answer is just the objectively right answer.
You shouldn't ever feel that way about my answers.
No, but like with this one specifically, because you backed it up with scientific studies that I'm sure are
you got that
there,
chimp science to back
that
you
chimp
up.
Science that you could totally just be lying
chimps
about.
Chimps might have played Miss Pac-Man. I'm
trust
not lying
you.
About it.
No, I trust you. I trust you, Sam.
Sam would never lie about a chimp.
I'm actually a little bit scared of chimps.
Me too.
I mean, they're terrifying.
They hurt people very bad.
Very strong.
They're
sharp
very
teeth.
Aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom?
They bite.
How do you feel about chimps?
What?
Tom chose XCOM. Let's move on.
Whoa. No. I think Pac-Man's a good one. I think Tetris would be another good one.
Okay.
Yeah,
very nice.
Tetris would be good.
I also think, and if we want to pull a modern one here, Snakebird or Snakebird Primer are both like incredibly good puzzle games if you haven't played them that are very, very easy to learn and very hard to master. And,
ooh, The Witness would be a good one too.
I don't think The Witness – actually, I think The Witness – does a lot with like messing with your preconceived notions of games. And if you didn't have those notions, you'd probably like the reveal in that game wouldn't really be a big deal to you. I don't know. It's like playing Undertale without playing RPGs. You'd just be like, I guess like what's the big deal?
Yeah, here's the dog.
I think we know the top three games that people play that have never played games before. It's Solitaire, Minesweeper, and Bejeweled. Yeah. Candy Crush. That's probably more
Candy
accurate
Crush.
Now. Yeah.
I was going to say maybe for another modern game, maybe Journey.
Journey would be good.
It's short. It doesn't require a whole lot of skill. You're just going.
It does have 3D camera control, which I still know people that can't do.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Just to do analog
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, you're right.
People.
Well, if you want to learn how to do analog camera control,
that's a good way to do it.
That is a good first game for that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, for the second game from Don Guerrero, 55. I'm sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. About Monster Hunter, because why not?
Stop this.
I know you said that. I have a reason for including this. Do you think that we will see anything Monster Hunter related to the Switch this year? Capcom is killing it right now with RE2 and DMC 5, Devil May Cry 5, and Resident Evil 2. I'm inclined to say that I believe for the 15th Monster Hunter anniversary, we get a new game. This week is Monster Hunter's 15th anniversary of the original one's launch. Mm-hmm. Super awesome. We're not getting a whole lot in the States about it, really. There's just like a landing page with a really nice letter from the creators, but Japan's getting a lot of cool stuff. But to the question, are we going to get another Monster Hunter Switch game this year? Any thoughts?
I thought you already had thoughts.
I'm going to be honest. I rarely think about Monster Hunter.
My vibe is we might get an announcement.
I was
but
thinking
I
that
don't
too.
Think
after
we're getting
Iceborne
a game this year,
I think we might get an announcement after Iceborne.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they could do like an E3 tease, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that we're going to get any Monster Hunter Switch release this in 2019, though, no.
I don't think it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that there's a bunch of Monster Hunter DS games and PSP games and stuff like that like would very easily come to Switch in an up-res version like Ultimate, Generations Ultimate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, I've spent actually quite a bit of time playing Monster Hunter 4.
Yeah.
On 3DS and had a good time with that. Like, I wouldn't mind that coming back.
Yeah, so. maybe we'll get another one. Maybe Monster Hunter Stories port. Like.
Oh, I would love a Monster Hunter Stories sequel for Switch. I think that'd be really cool because I thought that game, I never played the original
game?
One. It's an RPG.
It was a turn-based RPG with a lot of monster customization and an interesting story.
Do you guys think that Monster Hunter... could the most recent one can't come to Switch?
World?
There's no way for World to do that.
They have said before that is very unlikely because of the limitations of the Switch.
Yeah. I think they could do it, but it would not be an easy task.
Maybe a stream game?
I was going to say. Yeah.
It would not be, it wouldn't just be, hey, here's the game. Yeah. It would need to be either very reduced or streamed or something.
I mean, Capcom is sort of the pioneer in that in Japan. You know, they were the first of the console to do like streaming RE7 to the Switch, and but I can't imagine how much more horsepower you'd need to stream a massively multiplayer
Resident Evil 2 with a bunch of Resident Evil games that are coming to Switch.
Yeah,
so like, they want people to play that, you know, Resident Evil games on Switch, so they brought a bunch to it. Maybe they'll do the same with Monster Hunter.
RE7 and what was the other one? Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Those games also are not online. I feel like as soon as you start adding
that's what I'm saying, the infrastructure that you'd need to support, like, you're streaming it and it needs to communicate flawlessly with people online, that's just like too much juice.
It's a
you
lot
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And streaming is just not going to work out in the United States. We do not have the infrastructure to have most of the country on broadband so they can do it. It's really sad.
Yep.
Like, if I'm not wired to my Wi-Fi right now, it like cuts out a couple times a day for a few minutes. Like, for no reason.
What do you do? Oh, my God.
I get mad and yell about it to my
Go outside.
Go outside and get some vitamin D.
Right.
Yeah. But hey, that's about all the time we have for NVC this week. Remember, you can catch Nintendo Voice Chat every week on Thursday at 3 p.m. wherever you're listening, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, wherever. And remember, this is also the only place at IGN that you can
get the thing.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.